Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org.
Great. So we're going to engage our scripture readings. We have two scriptures today as we continue on in our worship. The first one is from Romans. It's a little bit long, and so you're invited to sit. We're going to read it from the Message, and then we're going to do a second scripture that's from the Gospels, and when we get to that one, we'll stand together as a way of remembering that Jesus is in our midst. So, Keith, take it away from Romans chapter 12.
So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. All right, you may be seated. Well, happy Family Sunday. And how nice is it to have it not be raining on us? My poor yard can't handle another inch of rain. I don't know about yours. But we're glad that you're here. My name's Jordan. I'm one of our pastors here. And it's great to have you with us. I want to share a couple quick logistic notes before we dive into the sermon today. First of all, as we said, it is Family Sunday. So if anyone gets restless, you're welcome to just stay. We'll all embrace the noise. But there is a cry room back there if you'd prefer to go out of the room as well. The other thing I want to do is provide a little bit of an update. If you're new around here, like John said, we truly want to get to know you. So if this is one of your first times at the parish, please do fill out that bluish green card and drop it in the basket on your way out so we can get to know you more. That would be really important to us. But we also, if you're new, you may not know, we're in a bit of a season of transition as a church. Eddie Kirkland was our founding pastor and the pastor who planted this church. And Eddie resigned a couple of weeks back just as the end of his season of ministry here, and he's moving on to some new and really exciting things as well. And so it's all good things, but even good change is impacting on us relationally. And so we're excited for what's ahead, for Eddie and for Danielle and their family, and we're also excited for what's ahead for the parish and for our family here. There's a lot of good life, and I'm really encouraged to see the way our community is responding in the midst of this season of transition and embracing both honestly that change is never something we as humans want to run into, and at the same time, we know change is a birthplace and a womb of sorts for some really good, new, exciting seasons. And so it's a both-and season for us as a community. And in the midst of transition, I think when people don't know kind of what the future is going to hold, we all try to start filling in our narratives. And one of the narratives we've heard is, are we going to keep being who we've been as a church? Are we going to keep being Anglican? Are we going to keep being contemplative? Are we going to keep being liturgical? Are we going to keep being evangelical and charismatic? And all the things we try to hold as we look to Jesus to show us how to live life. The answer to that is yes. Yes, we are leaning into our identity as a church in this time. We are saying yes to the unique expression of Anglicanism that we hold as a church. If you're not familiar with Anglicanism, Anglicans are the third largest body of Christians in the world. There's 80 million Anglicans in the world. And one of the things that's great is it allows us to just be a local, contextual expression of the body of Christ in ways that are really meaningful. And we're going to keep on doing that. So I don't want you to worry that things are going to change in significant ways. There will be some change, of course, but the core of our identity, who we are, and most importantly, the relationships we share will continue on. And so we, as a leadership team and as a vestry, have been leaning into our diocese, which is the group of churches we're a part of. We've been talking a lot with our bishop. We've been talking a lot with Chris McDaniel, who's the lead pastor at Trinity Anglican downtown and is one of the deans, which is a fancy word for one of the people who helps us as a church move through seasons just like this. And so we're leaning in to our organizational identity, our denominational identity, and our worshipful identity, and we're saying yes to that. And so there's a lot of really good things ahead. If you have any questions, please ask. Ask me, ask our vestry. We are here to be an open book in this time, to provide presence, continuity, and just a space as we all journey through into this future season of our church together. All right, so having said that, let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll enter into our scriptures for the day. And so I'll just sit here for just a brief moment. And Jesus, we recognize that you are amongst us. We don't have to ask your presence to be here. Your presence is here. Thank you. Thank you for caring well for us. Would you meet us now in this time? Would you open up your scriptures to us? And would you help each one of us to get some sort of takeaway that's meaningful in our lives? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to spend about 15 minutes or so just looking at who we are as the church. And then kids, I want the kids to know I'm going to need your help at the end of the service. We're going to do something that I need the kids to demonstrate because honestly, I don't trust the adults to demonstrate it well. And so kids, buckle up, put your game faces on. I'm going to need you at the end of the service, okay? But for now, we've been talking about where the church finds its foundation. We've been talking the last few weeks about who our identity is, both locally in the parish, but also globally as Christ Church gathered around the world. Who are we as the people of God? Who is and what is the church? And the what is expressed through some core practices of who we are. And those core practices look like communion, community, and commission. Those are the words we've been putting around them. Certainly, you could put other words around them, but those are the ones that we've been using as the core practices of who we are as God's people, and those practices flow out of our identity, and our identity is that we are a people who is blessed, broken, and given for the sake of the world, that we as the people of God become bread that is chosen by God and blessed and broken and given. And so 2 weeks back, we looked at that idea of being blessed, and that simply what that means is that there is a belovedness spoken over you, spoken over me, spoken over all of us, that before any words of lesser identity were spoken over you. Any words that said you're not enough, you're not adequate, you're not significant, you're not sufficient. There was a deeper core word spoken over you that says, it's the same word spoken over Jesus at his baptism. You are my beloved child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And our first task as Christians is not to go evangelize the world. It is not to show up to church. It is not to do a list of moral behaviors. Our first task as Christians is to deeply hear, respond, and claim the belovedness and the blessing that we are God's children who he loves and he is pleased with us. And the reason that's our first task is because far from being a selfish task, that is a selfless task, because until I receive that, I will try to find it from you. And I will go to you and ask you to be the one I've waited for, you to be the one who fills up my loneliness, you to be the one who tells me I'm okay, and you can't do that. And so we come into community, and we end up having a hard time getting along because we're needing things from one another that the other cannot possibly provide. And so it becomes our first task to receive from Jesus that we are deeply loved, and then that overflows into community. And when we come into community, we experience brokenness. Both our individual brokenness and our collective brokenness. And that brokenness means we need each other. It drives us to that second discipline of community, that we share our lives together, the belovedness and the brokenness, all in this mess in which Jesus stands in the center, and we trust him to be there in our midst. And so that brings us to our third discipline, this discipline of commission or co-mission. It is a shared mission. And we as a group of churches, we're a part of a diocese of churches that's called Churches for the Sake of Others. And simply what that means is that we recognize that the church does not exist as a means to ourselves. Churches exist for the sake of their non-members. Churches exist for the sake of those who do not come to the church. And we are sent out missionally to simply share the life of God with the world by simply sharing our presence. And that's what this third thing is all about. And so just as receiving belovedness is a prerequisite to healthy belonging in the midst of brokenness, so too naming our brokenness and placing it in the care of Jesus is a prerequisite to healthy mission. Because there is something unique, a mysterious link between my brokenness and my mission. We always want to get rid of the brokenness. But there is something about the way in which I struggle, the pain that I have walked through, that uniquely prepares me to be God's person in the world. And if we try to get rid of all of that and act like it's not there, we actually don't have the presence we need flowing out of our brokenness for our mission. In other words, just as God is the bread and the wine and invites us through his presence, to be a wounded healer. God is a wounded healer, and he invites you and I to become wounded healers. We become part of this great meal. We become the bread. We become the wine offered to the world. And so I'm given and I'm sent into the world in a way that meaningfully flows out of my unique belovedness and my unique brokenness. There's a great theologian named Bob Mulholland, and the way he says this is that spiritual formation, which is a fancy phrase, that simply means we're becoming more like Jesus. Spiritual formation is the process of being conformed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. Not only for the sake of ourselves, but that what happens in me might overflow to the world around me. In other words, I have been chosen to choose others. I have been blessed to bring blessing to others. I have been changed to bring change to others. And it's only in that identity of people who are given that we can even make sense of our identity as being chosen and blessed and broken. So you've seen me do this before, but I want to keep pushing this image and this symbol into our collective identity because I think this is so crucial for how we understand Christian spirituality. And so it's Family Sunday. So I've asked someone from my family to help me demonstrate this. So this is McKenna. McKenna's my oldest daughter, and you can say hello to McKenna. Hi, McKenna. and so McKenna's going to demonstrate this. Here's the idea before she starts this. This here is God. The picture is God, okay? Inside the picture is God's life And God is going to pour his life into us, the cup. And we receive God's life. But then the question is, what are we going to do with it? And what we tend to want to do with it is a couple of things. Number one, we might want to poke holes in our cup so that what gets into me can as quickly as possible get into the world around me. I want to share everything, and there's maybe a good impulse there, but it ends up that because I poked holes in my cup, I run dry, right? Or maybe I love my time with God so much that I bring it over here, and I have my alone time with God, but it never overflows into the saucer, which is the community we share in relationship with one another, okay? And so that's what the saucer represents. The plate represents our mission to the world. And so the other thing we may want to do is just keep it all to ourselves as a community. We'll let it overflow out of my life and into your life, but then let's keep it all here inside the church. Let's be a country club, so to speak. But Christian spirituality looks like this, that God pours his life into us, and we don't let it go anywhere else until we are filled up. We allow God to fill us, and then there's this moment in the Greek, it's called pleroma, where there is overflow. And the overflow flows out into the relationships we share, keep going, in our family and those around us, those we come to church with, and we let God keep pouring into us as a community until it naturally overflows even further out beyond the saucer and into the plate, which is our mission to the world. But we allow it to just keep flowing so that we don't get emptied in the process. Right? As much as I stay under the flow of God's belovedness and voice that speaks his blessing over me, then it can keep overflowing out of me without me being empty, and eventually it's going to overflow for the sake of the world into the world around me. Beautiful job, McKenna. Let's stop there. It's about to overflow here, but the last time I did this, we ended up with water everywhere, and the host team was mad at me. So we don't want that. Wonderful job. Thank you, McKenna. And so I want us to get this picture deep in our hearts. What does it look like for me to stay aligned under the flow of God so that then I don't have to manufacture anything? I don't have to produce anything. I can simply let what God is pouring into me pour into others. Notice that the exact same substance that flows into me is what overflows to others. I don't have to create anything new. I simply give what I have been given. And that's what it might look like for us to be sent on mission, is that we just pour out what was poured into us. In fact, that's exactly what we see in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's about to send them out on mission. And he says, as you go, proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near, right? So the gospel of the kingdom, they're being sent to proclaim that gospel. And he says, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And this is the part I want us to focus on. Freely you have received, freely give. What you have received, let it overflow to those around you. And so we can give what we have received. Henry Nouwen says it this way. He says, imagine yourself having been sent into the world, a way of seeing yourself that is possible if you truly believe you were loved before the world began. In John 20, Jesus sends his disciples. This is post-resurrection. And he comes to his disciples and he says to them, peace be with you. This is the verse that Alan read. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. In the same manner the Father sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And I want to just, in our remaining time, offer a couple of takeaways on this verse here. And the first is this, that we are sent to participate in the ongoing mission of Jesus. You woke up this morning into a reality, and here's the reality. Jesus is alive, right? That's what we proclaim. That's what we believe, that Jesus is actually alive. So if Jesus is actually alive, when you got out of bed this morning, you joined him in his already ongoing mission to renew the entire world. Jesus is living the most interesting life imaginable because the life and mission of Jesus is literally to renew the entire cosmos, the heavens and the earth, back into right relationship with God and one another for the sake of the renewal of all things. And he says, you come join me in that, right? That is the mission we are sent into and that we are invited to participate in. And so we're participating in that mission. And we join Jesus in this incredibly interesting life where Christ is alive and leading us. And he says that as the Father sent him in the same manner, in the same likeness, so he sends us. So it begs the question then, well, then what is the manner and likeness in which God sent Jesus? How was Jesus sent? Well, what we know is that Jesus was in constant communication with the Father. In fact, look at what he says in John chapter 5. He says, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. In other words, the mission of Jesus is simply the overflow of what he has received from the Father, right? And that's where this image becomes so helpful to us, that we are sent then in that same manner, just as Jesus was sent with constant conversational relationship with the Father, and he just acts out of that. So too are you sent into your workplace, into your school, into your relationships, into your family. And this is why a life of prayer becomes so important, prayer school plug right there, that we learn how to pray in conversational communication with God so that we might hear what the Father is doing and act out of it, because that's the way that we are sent. And so Jesus has this orientation to the Father in the manner that he is sent, and we have an orientation to Christ through the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to our second takeaway, which is this, that we can only give what we have received from the Holy Spirit. And that's why the second part of the verse says, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So as he sends and gives them, he first allows them to receive. We can only give once we have received. And what is it that we receive? We receive the Holy Spirit, right? And practically, what does that look like? Well, Jesus says the Spirit is going to be the one that guides us into all truth. In other words, the Spirit's the one that's going to tell us what the Father's saying. So just like Jesus only did what he saw the Father's doing and saying, so we too, because of the Spirit, are able to walk in actual living connection with God, sense what God is doing, and respond accordingly out of that. And so we receive from the Spirit the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Any kids know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Emma. Beautiful. Yeah, what she said, right? So where is there love in your life? Where is there joy in your life? Where is there peace in your life? And what would it look like to just give that away? Just give it away. Or what are the charismatic gifts? And by that, what I mean, a charismatic just means a little portion of a unique grace, right? So where have you received a gift of leadership or a gift of administration or a gift of hospitality or a gift of healing or a gift of teaching? And what would it look like to give that away, to be given in that way? We don't need to generate or produce some ministry, simply overflow. The same things you receive from God, overflow them to others. And that's bringing us to our third and final takeaway, that if God chooses you, if God chooses to give you, then who you are and where you are is enough. And I want to borrow from our Bishop Todd Hunter. And by the way, if you're new to Anglicanism, bishop sounds like a super cool word. How fun would it be to just say you're the bishop? Like, that just sounds really cool. The only cooler title is the canon to the ordinary. I would just love to have that on my business cards. But our bishop simply means the guy who's listening to God and helping pastor the churches in our area. And wonderful, wonderful guy who's been doing this a long time, right? So all I mean to say when I say our bishop is, here's a really wise guy who cares about us. And here's what he says. He said that one of the things that he has noticed in 40 years of ministry is that we all have this voice in our head that says, oh, well, if I was more like this, If I was more like that person, if I could preach like Rick Warren, if I could evangelize like Billy Graham, then I could go into the world. And it actually works against our imagination of being sent into the world, because who Jesus sent into the world is you, not who you aren't, but who you are. And he wants to use who you are, not who you're not. That you are enough. And what would it look like to take the pressure off when it comes to being in the lives of those around you? You don't have to have the perfect words. You don't have to have some 18 points of apologetics and evangelism. Instead, you can walk around just saying, behold, look at that. Wow, did you notice that? You're in tune with the life of God in ways your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends may not be. So when you notice God at work, just point it out. You're just the witness. Wow, did you see that? Did you see how that happened in a way that impacted that thing we were talking about last week, right? In other words, in our mission, the accent is not on you, it is on Jesus. Jesus is going to do the heavy lifting. You're just there to show up and point out the places God is already at work. And so the magic is in discovering who you uniquely are in Christ and then leveraging precisely that for missional living. Just be yourself while you're about your Father's business. Use your imagination and then the basic abilities you have to announce and demonstrate and embody the kingdom. We'll end with this. Paul says this in Romans 12. He says that verse that Keith led us in, that here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Just take your everyday, ordinary life and place it before God as an offering. I am not asking us as a church to add mission to an already overbusy, over-indebted life. This is not one more thing you sign up for. This is us taking our everyday, ordinary life and going into that, aware that God is with us, bringing good news of great joy to all people. And so we just give our presence. We're just giving our availability in a world of devices and distractions. It's less your unique and special talents God wants to give and more just who you are, just your very presence, who you are. That is the bread of your everyday life being given to the world. And then what we want to trust as we close is that the bread that is given in the hands of Jesus multiplies, right? That's the story that we see multiple times in the gospel, is that just a little bit of bread, when put into the hands of Jesus, just multiplies. What would it look like for you to take the little bit you can give, that little kind, encouraging word, that little act of faithfulness or forgiveness or others-oriented love, and allow it to multiply? Don't worry so much about the big problems of the world. Instead, just focus on being loving and kind to your neighbors. Start a soup night in your neighborhood like the Berries do. Just act in love to those around you and go into your ordinary life wherever you find yourself in each moment. That's the grounds of your mission. That's where you can be who Jesus would be if he were you. All right, so let's end it with this. That the best practice for mission, or use a different word if you want, if you are more comfortable with the word evangelism, or if you're more comfortable with the word apologetics, or whatever it might be, what does it look like for you to image Jesus to the world? Well, the best practices, I think, might look like this. If you'll go to that final slide for me, Ethan. Sorry, the one before that. Yeah, we would receive the blessing of our belovedness deeply. Receive it. That's the first task. And then we cooperate with Jesus as he deeply transforms our brokenness. And then we allow the overflow of simply that to go into the life of those around us, announcing, embodying, and demonstrating God's love to the world. And so our breath prayer this week is simply this: Jesus, give my life for the sake of the world. Give my life for the sake of the world. Let's close by just taking a moment, and I want you to imagine your life as the cup. And whatever you've received from God, maybe you're just exploring a life of faith, or maybe you've been at this journey and this long obedience in the same direction for 70 years. Whatever you've received from God, become aware of it now. And how have you been positioning your cup? Are you trying so hard to make a difference, like I know I am prone to do, that you're poking holes in the cup and you're going to run dry? Are you so focused on your relationships or your children or your coworkers that you forget to even sit underneath the flow of God's Spirit at all? How might you bring your life into alignment so that communion with Jesus will overflow into community, which will overflow into commission for the life of the world? Jesus, would you give our life away for the sake of the world? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.